Manchester United. What a turnaround at the Emirates.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. Please help by subscribing and check out footballpurist.com.
Welcome to another edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. I've got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
I'm all right, mate. I'm just thinking about how I can imitate Aspie, that's all.
Girl, there you go.
Stick my tongue out and just run around everywhere. It'd be good fun.
Absolutely. What's that about? Jorginho did that as well. I don't know what they got. They've got to work on their celebrations, this Chelsea team, haven't they? They're not used to scoring goals at home, maybe something like that. I don't know what it is, but thank you for coming on, mate.
No problem, James Johnson.
How you doing, James?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much.
Good, man. You're just fresh off rewatching the game, so I'm looking for some in-depth, top-quality analysis from you.
I'll do my best I can.
Good, man. I've got a little bit of a croaky voice, just to let you know, so I'll just... apologies if my voice kind of goes up and down like a teenage boy, but I'll see how I do. Let's get into it, though. We're the draw specialists. We're the draw kings, aren't we? So there's another draw to talk about, but I think there's so much more than just the result to discuss away at Stamford Bridge with this 2-2. Neil, I mean, I don't want to touch too much on the lineup. There was one change, though, and I want to know what your thoughts are on that before you evaluate the game for me. Hector Bellerin came in. I was quite surprised by it, mainly because he really hadn't had any game time despite being in the squad in the last couple of weeks. But it does seem like they kind of had outlined maybe this game as his comeback. But, I mean, you know, there's certainly easier places to go than away at Stamford Bridge. But what are your thoughts on that? Arteta spoke about the importance of having a natural fullback in the last game, and it seems like that played into his thought process for this game.
Yes, it seems like it was very, very well planned. I mean, I was shocked. I had no idea he was going to return for this game. I actually didn't think that he would. And then the biggest surprise that it was made captain as well. I was like, wow, that's a huge call. So I've been saying for a while that I completely trust and have faith in Arteta. So although I was very surprised, I thought there must be a reason for this. And as it panned out and as it transpired, he was one of the best players on the pitch throughout the whole game, and actually thought he'd done a really good job as captain. So although it was a shock at the start, completely unexpected from my part, ended up being what a massive call and what a good call, because he not only played well, or played very well, I thought, but I thought he did actually quite a good job as captain as well. Whether he retains that when Aubameyang comes back, we'll see. I doubt it. But in the meantime, I think Aubameyang's still out for another game, isn't he? I think he's still out for Bournemouth. I'm not sure.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And so I won't be surprised if he retains that captain's position and he's back for Bournemouth as well. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on how he's reacted to this game and how his fitness is. But if he's okay, I can't see him not playing again on Monday. So I was really, really pleased with him, with him and a couple of other people, which I didn't expect, Xhaka being another one. You know, I thought they played so well. Thought they were right up there as potentially being something, you know, a couple of the best players in the game. But you know, there were great performances throughout the team after what happened, and obviously we'll talk about that. But just overall thoughts on the game. I'm so pleased, guys, as I'm sure you are. It's not so much about only getting a point. It's more about how we played and how we fought, you know, twice having to come back with only 10 men. You know, it's just something we haven't seen from our boys for a very, very long time. We were just saying off air, you know, I know we've had a few spurts of good games over the last few years, but for me, this was really standout performance. You know, again, it's... I know Chelsea aren't what they used to be, but they're still considered, you know, one of the big teams. And to go and do that away at their ground, it's incredible, really, considering the odds were against us. What we've seen in recent times with Arsenal, to go down to 10 men and then to play the way we did, you know, twice coming back, it's incredible. I'm so proud of everyone. I'm so proud of them. And hopefully this will really give them the impetus to build on it and hopefully just put in more good performances. And the main thing, the crucial thing, is maybe start turning these draws into wins. if we can do that, and I know again, fourth is a very, very difficult challenge for us to contemplate. However, if we can put a few good performances in and get some good results, I think that will give us the confidence to maybe have a good cup run in one of the two cups, if not both of them. And then that will put us in good stead for Arteta to build on and really start making some impact into how he wants to take this team into the next season after the summer window. So I was so pleased with the performance. We showed a lot of fight, a lot of grit, a lot of determination and desire, all the kind of things you want from all the players. It was a joy to watch, although, and it's very, very unusual for us to say we're celebrating a draw, but it really felt like that, and it actually felt like a win at the final whistle. So delighted, Jack.
Yeah, I agree with all that, really. And it's not something we're used to seeing from us, is it? Away game at one of the big six, if you like, 1-0 down, 10 men down. I mean, we're just prepared for us to capitulate like usual, to be honest, exactly. under the previous manager and probably even, you could say, Wenger. To the last stage of Wenger, yeah. So that's where it's coming from. It's not the point or the draw. We're not celebrating that. We're looking at the performance, aren't we, which is really the way we've been evaluating Arteta game by game. And I think this is more than ever the time to do that when you find ourselves in this sort of mid-table zone where nothing really seems like it's drastically going to change without some sort of crazy run. But, James, touch on the first sort of 25 minutes leading into the red card. I didn't think we started that well, to be honest. From what I recall when I rewatched the game last night, I felt they kind of pressed us quite high every time we tried to play out the back. We struggled a little bit to counter it early on. I felt most of the half chances came to them. You had Abraham's header. I think Hudson-Odoi had a cross-come shot that hit the bar. And then obviously the big moment, big talking point of the game that really changed it massively. Perhaps you could even say in our favour, but we'll talk about that. But what's your thoughts for the first part of the game, mate?
I just thought it was really, really cagey. I don't know if that was from, like you've both expressed in the, I know we raised it on the last podcast as well, where he does that 4-2-3-1. And he has Maitland-Niles tuck in and plays that extra, you know, central midfielder or centre-back. And then he has the left-back do all the overlapping and the attacking. I think where he's changed that and sort of was like, no, do you know what, Bellerin, you can get up there a bit as well. And you can, you know, you can stretch it and everything else. And then Saka, you know, you can get up there. And I think it was nice for Pepe and Martinelli to sort of, you know, have the out ball as well, have the player actually overlap them and utilize, you know, the width and everything else. I think that's what played quite dividends in the end, actually, to be fair. But the first 25 minutes, like you said, yeah, extremely, extremely cagey. I mean, like the Abraham header that you said, the Hudson-Odoi, you know, I think Leno was slightly off his line and he tried to dip it. And I don't know if Leno punched it onto the bar or if it just hit the bar. Abraham had that volley as well straight after. Not Abraham, sorry. Hudson-Odoi had that volley straight after as well, which I was like, I thought that was going in when he hit it. I thought, oh God, but Leno again made a brilliant, brilliant reaction save, which he normally does. I can't fault him for that. It's normally, you know, the deflections or you know, it's where he's passing it out, where he makes his errors. He's actually not that bad of a shot stopper when you narrow it down. The first 25 minutes was just, it was just cagey as ever. I mean, I don't really think that we're the best starters anyway. And I don't know if that's something that's drifted over from when Emery was in charge. And we're trying to knock that out. But, I feel that we come a bit later in the games, or we do sort of come back now when we face adversity. I mean, it was a bit of a reverse of the Villa fixture earlier in the season at home, except it was a better side we did it against, which you can't, you know, that's why we're all so happy and can't complain. I mean, for me, Chelsea at the moment, okay, they're not Chelsea that we've been expecting in recent years. However, you know, it is still Chelsea, but it baffles me because as much as we criticise Arsenal for not getting active in the transfer window, You know, it just seems to me that Lampard doesn't actually know that his ban's been lifted. Do you know what I mean? It's I don't get how they haven't reinforced, because for me at the moment, he's managing Chelsea like he's a fan and not a manager. And it's just like he's so happy that he's playing his youth players and everything. But I'm like, you're burning them out, mate. They're shattered. And that's what, again, like I said, that's what proved dividends in the end, is that they just completely ran out of energy. And at the end, it looked like we had 11 men and they were the ones who had the 10, because they were just absolutely shattered at the end of it. I mean, we started to get laggy as well, but they looked completely bollocked by what... by what Arsenal had, you know, what Arsenal had played them into. And when Arteta speaks, we all seem to listen now compared to the previous two managers that we had. So, you know, at the end, I think Pierre Wenger become, you know, it could become like a bingo sheet, really. Same with Emery. You could tick off the catchphrases that were going to come out. But he praised the togetherness and leadership. And I have to say, you know, you'll touch on it in a minute, the goal. But after what happened, I think the leadership and the togetherness was superb to a man. I think everybody was really, really good. And Mustafi especially, I thought second half, you just looked at it and you were like, why didn't you play like this from the start? You're clearly, you know, you're clearly not as awful as what's perceived, but it's just the consistency is just not there. But that can be said for so many of them in this side. I think the only one who is actually consistent currently at the moment is Martinelli, and he's 18 years old. It says it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Neil, with the penalty though, James just touched on Mustafi, and we spoke offline about giving him credit for his performance, but I kind of mentioned that the tough thing for me is I always feel like he's got this ricket in him and it's always not far away. And I feel like we've seen this sort of episode before almost, you know. You got any complaints about the penalty or the red card, Neil?
No, I haven't got any complaints about the penalty or the red card. With hindsight, it's easy to say, because then after we put in such a great performance and we were so pleased with it. I know it's hindsight, but you can't really complain. I mean, Mustafi just, don't know what he was thinking, just a complete it just got that all wrong, completely messed it up. The back pass so short, woefully short, which allowed the player to attack the ball. And I don't really think Luis had much he could have done. I mean there's an argument that he could have just let him play, and you know, potentially we could have had the goal and we would still had 11 men on the pitch. But to be honest, I have to say I think we played better after he went off. It's almost, it kind of reminded me of when Aubameyang went off the other, who did he go off against? I can't recall now.
Palace.
When he was at Palace, that was it. And we kind of almost regrouped and played, I think, better. We fought harder after that. And it's more so in this game, of course. But it just seems that we checked the way that when putting Xhaka into the defensive role, it almost reinvigorated us. And, you know, credit to him as well, because he played so well there and done such a good job. But it's almost as if it changed our style of play for the better. I know it's silly to say that. We never want to play any games with 10 men, I admit. But I think I've got no complaints. I think it was a red card. There's nothing much that else could have happened with that decision. Unfortunately, we conceded the penalty as a result. But as I said, I think it changed the whole dynamic of the game for me for the better in a weird way. And it also proved a point that we now have a team that can fight for the rest for each other when we have a calamity like that, which can only be good for us going forward. You know, that we've got that fight in all the players. Arteta has obviously instilled something in all of them to say, I want you to prove to me that no matter what the circumstances, he's gone on record and said that no matter what the situation, it doesn't matter what it is, how unfair you might feel you've been treated, how unfair the officiating might be, you fight, you have to keep fighting. You never know, you can stay in the game, and if you stay in the game, you've got a chance of getting something out of it. And that's what I felt I saw after that decision. But I don't really have any complaints with the decision. So I don't know about you guys, but I don't have any complaints.
I don't really either. I saw some people say it's not a red because of his attempt to go for the ball. Mm. And Tammy Abraham kind of hits the floor. But the way Luis gets to him is kind of from the back, right? He's not really the right side of him to make that challenge anyway.
No.
And then, I mean, Mustafi put him in a terrible position, so you know, there's not a ton he can do. And then some people are saying Mustafi is back on the line, but if you watch when Tammy Abraham kind of looks to pull the trigger, he's not. He would have scored. I don't think Mustafi's back
on
the line.
Can I just say, the way I always judge these penalties, if that had been against us...
Yeah, you're asking around. For a red and a pen.
What would you two have said? Well, you would have said penalty all day long, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If it hadn't been given, and if the guy hadn't been sent off, you'd be upset, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it.
No, I mean, there's all this about the double jeopardy rule, but I think it doesn't come into effect if it's classed as a violent foul. Mm. And I mean, for me, I looked at it and was like, okay, Luis has sort of backed into him. He definitely has, and he's definitely clipped him. However, if you do watch it back, it sort of looks like Abraham scuffed his shot anyway.
Yeah, like it does look like that.
He's like falling down. But he was always going to give it. And for me, it was a red. And I mean, that's what, more red cards against any other team in the Premier League now. I think we were tied on 7 with Chelsea, and I can't remember who the other one is, but no, it's gone to 8 now, so we've broken another record there. As
there we go. Perfect.
You know, we always keep talking about it. So, you know, we're fantastic at this. We're fantastic. Yeah. But no, it's a definite red. But do you know what really sort of angered me? And do you know what I was like? Well, to be honest, they're not going to do it on the pitch anyway. But it was the way that David Luiz was arguing with the referee. For me, I'd have turned around and gone to Mustafi like, thanks a fucking bunch, mate. Like I was like, why aren't you investing that energy in bollocking it? Like, no one really bollocked Mustafi about it. Whereas they were all gathering around the ref as well and complaining. And I'm like, I don't know. If it was me, I'd have turned to Mustafi.
But that doesn't happen in our. That doesn't happen at Arsenal anymore. James. If that had been, you know, George Graham's era, or even Wenger's earlier, had our teammates having a go at each other, say, "What the fuck's that about?"
Yeah,
we're still all too nice within the squad. You know,
not that it would have happened, but say it was like Keown that got the red card for it, he would have turned around and gone, "You've dropped me right in it there." Like, yeah, thanks, thanks a bunch and everything. Do you know what I mean? It was just I just didn't get it the way they were all just investing in crowding around them. Like, I mean, I don't see Arsenal as that side that crowds around the ref and complains and everything. Mm.
I think unnecessarily. At the half time whistle, when Emerson had a handball, he'd already been on a booking because of a silly tackle on Pepe, much like Guendouzi's tackle.
Didn't show no replays again.
But didn't show any replays.
No, it's really hard to believe that it's. I mean, even if it is handball, if you watch it, I mean, you can't give a yellow for it. He's like 3 yards from him and he pings it.
They normally show a replay. Didn't even speak about it, really.
No. Well, that's the Arsenal effect, isn't it? I mean, we're getting a bit of a harsh deal of it, I think. I still felt this ref was pretty poor in favour of Chelsea in certain aspects. Some terrible challenges on us going on a counter-attack in the second half. That some did get punished, but, you know, when you look at it, I mean, we were away. And, you know, Lacazette was away and bomb Christensen or Aspilicueta, I can't remember who, flies through his old body, and Pepe as well getting torn to shreds. I just think, you know, I mean, that we've got to be a bit shrewder with sometimes the way we make our challenges, I think, because clearly we're not going to get any favours from the referees.
No,
we're not getting nothing. I mean, I've never, just we'll go back to the game, I've never seen a referee so keen to get a player sprinting off the pitch as they did with Pepe. I know he wanted him to go off the side, like that's the new rule. But he literally went with him for about 30 yards. Come on. And I'm like, I don't think you'd be doing that if it was Willian on the other side. I just don't see you doing it. And I think we've been, I don't know what it is. I think people are seeing us as a soft touch and taking advantage a little bit. And referees are jumping on that a little bit because I just don't think we get the rub of the green. But like you said, it would have been easy at this point for this group to start blaming each other, to start blaming the ref. And we didn't really do any of that. We didn't waste our energy on any of that, really, did we? And that was really positive to see. After the red card, James, like Neil said, we came into the game a bit more.
Yeah.
And they were really attacking our fullback. So I thought pre-red card, you know, Saka and Hudson-Odoi was really sort of troubling him. And then we just started to push him the other way.
Yeah.
And we started to control the ball more, and we started to play better and faster, maybe because we knew we had to, because we were a man down. I don't know how it happens like that. But we found more space, and Chelsea struggled. And I wouldn't say we created a ton in that first half, not from what I can recall. But we just had spells of possession where we looked a lot more dangerous, a lot more comfortable. We penned them back. And I thought that was really impressive to see, you know, when you have to put under the circumstance that we were under. And I thought, you know, Xhaka was a big part of sort of playing that Luis role, you know, playing the ball out of the back, and you know, he's clearly very comfortable on the ball, and that was an obvious transition. What were your thoughts on the substitution or lack of in the first half, James? On my stream, there was a discussion about, well, Holding was ready. Literally at 25-30 minutes, and first of all, it was Pepe coming off. Then it was Martinelli coming off. And I was I mean, it had to be Ozil if it was anyone, didn't it?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, it's funny with hindsight now, because obviously, you know, you look at what happened. But at the time, I was just like, I was like, Arteta, you know, I love you, mate, but you got to do something here. Like, this is, you know, what are you going to do? And I was looking at it, and to be fair, I know you said pre-recording you want to touch on him. I don't know if this is the time you want to touch on him now, but
Ahead, Ozil, go on.
I didn't know he was playing.
He was non-existent. They were down to nine men, not ten.
I didn't really know he was there, and I hate to be this guy, as I'm a Mesut Ozil fan. And I have been for a very, very long time. However, he is at 31 years of age now, I believe. You know, I don't see him as these other elder playmakers like your Perlows and, you know, your Iniestas and your David Silvers, et cetera, just for examples, that where he's older, he's going to improve. And I look at it and I'm like, arguably, he's classed as Arsenal's best player. Is he our best player? No, but he's the highest paid. And, you know, he's on 350 to 400 grand a week. And he's got one goal and one assist in 17 games. Wow. That's not the return of investment anymore. I think that other players would look at what Ozil's on, especially the big name players that we have, and go, well, hang on a sec, I'm giving you 10 of what he's giving you, and yet you won't put me on the same man. You know, I think they'd want clarity in their contracts and go, I want to earn the same that he earns, if not more. And I think as a club, we can't do that. I think the way that we've got the owners that we have, it's very, very spend as less as we can, develop within, or go cheap, develop, sell on. And you know, it's a sad, sad indictment of Mesut Ozil and where Mesut Ozil is. But I'm afraid we cannot keep this man anymore. I think we need to go younger and buy a more dynamic, a more somewhat pacey number 10 that actually gets involved with the games, because we don't have one at the club. We can say as much as we like about how Joe Willock can have impact in games, but he's not the man for me there going forward. Danny Ceballos, okay, you know, he doesn't seem to get a look in, and if you read his Instagram comments, you know, he said to Bellerin, I'll miss those goals with that left foot. It sort of come across that he was going to go back.
Like, apparently he's requested it, hasn't he?
I mean, and I never saw him as a number 10 anyway. I saw him more as a number 8, but I look at it and I think that, you know, we need to really invest in that position, possibly in the summer, because I can't see us lavishing money on a proper number 10 in this window.
No,
anyway.
It's not happening this window. And it,
I think this window's the defender and the central midfielder, if possible. But
we definitely
need a number 10 that produces. You know, I'm talking about, like I said last podcast, you know, goals from all around the pitch because we're over reliant on certain players. You need a 7 to 10 goaler and a 15 to 20 plus assister, and Ozil, I don't think he's going to get to that level anymore, I'm afraid. And I'm sorry if that upsets. I know Ozil has a lot of fans. It's, like I said, I am one of them. Well, I was one of them as well. I mean, now I don't see it. I don't see him ever getting back to that sensational level. And I would, you know, I would gladly say thank you for your years of service and everything else. But, you know, go now to Turkey or to America or wherever you want to go and get your money, mate. You know, get even more money than what we're giving you.
Yeah, whether someone's going to pay that or not, I don't know, especially with the way he's been playing the last few years. But I mean, I sort of complimented his application under Arteta. But I think in hindsight, and I mean, this early days, I was, you know, really complimenting him for something that should have already been there, no matter who the manager was. You know, we were complimenting Mesut Ozil for giving 100%. I mean, it's a little bit laughable when you think about that. When you think of who he is and, you know, how much he should. But he just doesn't impact games enough. And I think I've got so many players that I want to ask you questions about. But I think from the 25th minute to the 54th minute, Torreira basically controlled that central midfield on his own. I mean, Ozil was supposed to be his partner, right? Xhaka dropped deep. Ozil was obviously told to play in as a two, right? And I know Lampard came out yesterday and said we were struggling with Ozil's positioning and he was kind of flanking out right and we couldn't really. And obviously the Ozil fanboy is going to jump on that and go, well, you don't see what he does, you see? And I'm like, no, it's not that. I mean, for crying out loud, we are seeing. But Torreira, I mean, I think I've got to give a huge amount of credit to Lucas Torreira because I'm really surprised he did not make that change earlier. We went 30 minutes before making a change.
But it's like you've just said, though, Jack, you know, where you say about the Ozil fanboys and everything else. I know that's a term that gets used in good jest, but you know, they're like, oh no, he really applied himself and he tried hard. And I'm like, well, he's on 350 to 400.
Everyone should be doing that.
Yeah, if he didn't try hard, why the fuck is he in the team? Like,
everyone should be doing that.
And alive. You pay me 400 grand a week for any job, I'm at least going to turn up and try. That's expected. You know, you want something more than turning up and trying, don't you, for that money?
Yeah. And I always said, you've got to be very careful about what we expect from a player that really hasn't played anywhere near the level he used to play at for about 2 years.
He's a luxury now, and we can't afford luxuries anymore.
No, I mean, let's talk short term, though. I mean, short term, James, like you said, nothing's going to happen this window.
No, but
I do wonder, and we're going to get to Guendouzi. I do, because I thought he really had a good game when he came on. Guendouzi, he broke up play really well. He made little niggly challenges.
He was exactly like you predicted last time, like you
chaos.
Said.
Game's chaotic. He thrives, doesn't he?
So spot on there, mate. I just wonder,
James, certainly for away games, obviously he's certainly not going to pull an Emery on Ozil and
you know,
and start to shut him out. I think we know that's not going to work. So Arteta's far shrewder than that. But I wonder for away games if currently in the squad, Guendouzi is the player. I know he's not massively known for creating a ton of goals, but just to put in there at that 8-10 role and just let be free and roam, because what he does provide, he's not particularly fast, but he runs all day, doesn't he? He runs all day. He's never not involved, Guendouzi. One thing I can say about him, whether he's been good or bad, he's always there. He's always present. He's always trying to be involved, maybe too much sometimes. And I wonder if that might be something we see if we see performances like this, you know, more often from Mesut Ozil. I think he has been improved under Arteta, so I don't want to spend too long on him. But I did think, you know, I was surprised he lasted that long, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we're 1-0 down. I thought I certainly was very encouraged by the last 15 minutes of the first half to say, okay, I'm going to keep watching this game because I was worried it wasn't going to turn out like that. Then second half, a change early, and I think it makes a huge difference, to be honest. I think it adds an extra set of legs in there, Guendouzi. And although we're under the cosh, if you like, I mean, they had 19 shots to our two on not on target total. But I think only 8 of their shots were really on target. I don't really remember feeling massively worried about, I mean, obviously they're whipping tons of balls into our box, and Mustafi and Jacka were handling them fantastically well, and our fullbacks were staying on. But we counter-attacked the way a team should counter-attack with 10 men. I thought Lacazette was incredibly press-resistant. I thought Martinelli and Pepe were really dangerous as we broke. And I was watching it thinking, to be honest, when the Martinelli goal came, Neil, I wasn't that surprised, even though we hadn't created that much, because every time we looked like breaking on them, they hacked our legs down before we got to the halfway line. And I was really encouraged, mate. So, Neil, talk to me about the early part of the second half. And, I mean, I could spend a whole podcast on Martinelli, but you got to touch on the goal, mate. It was incredible to see.
Well, I agree. I think at the end of the day, I know James was saying about Chelsea faltering near the end, and he was right to say that. But I think it's because of the way we played. I think we did so well defensively, as you just described. You know, Mustafi, although he made that horrendous blunder, I was saying to you off air, I thought, you know, after that, he was coming in with some crucial blocks. You even talked about the one even before the sending off, the one where he got smacked in the bollocks and he was on the floor for a while. But he was throwing himself around, and he was getting in to make crucial interceptions, just like Xhaka was. You know, they made a really good pairing, I thought. And I think it was a combination of us stopping them playing. That's what I was encouraged by. This is why I was annoyed at Match of the Day. Sorry to digress, but I watched the highlights on BBC yesterday night, and all they talked about was Chelsea being a young team, and you know, and their weaknesses. They never really once said, you know, it was because of the way Arsenal did so well to fight and how well they played to stop them from doing anything, from creating anything. So I completely agree with you that we shut them out. And and you're right, if anyone was gonna score a goal, it was almost as if it was gonna come from us. And we were getting hacked down. And this is what I was, again, I'm going to be unpopular on the pod, but this is what I saw in snippets about Lacazette. I know he's not scoring goals, which obviously he should be. He's a striker. He's a forward.
I thought it was terrific.
He hasn't scored away for God knows how long. And you know, this is a serious concern. He's got to get into the goals again. And I did say that maybe he just needs a goal. He did actually score one, although it was offside. You know, I just felt that he does a lot of work. I saw it in snippets in the last game. I saw a couple of times where he was on the halfway line and he held the ball up really well, and he did then, you know, create a potential chance for Pepe. But I saw that in abundance yesterday. So I thought he wasn't doing the role that he's maybe paid to do, but he was doing a different role. It's almost as if he reminds me of the way Welbeck used to work really hard. Do you remember Welbeck used to really work hard when he was
just a reliable player to have.
And he was just exactly. And he reminded me of that, although I feel that he's just got a little bit more than Welbeck has. And hopefully when the goals he starts scoring again, and they're not ruled offside, I think that might give him that confidence again to play better up, you know, in front of goal. But I thought we stopped Chelsea from playing. I think you're totally right about that. And then the goal, oh my God, it kind of epitomised that it was a couple of eight, because I thought Saka was great as well. Again, you know, another young player. But I thought, again, and this goal, it was a Mustafi assist. We have to say that. It was a good header out.
Very good, yeah.
What you expect from your defenders to do on a corner. But oh my God, 67 yards from this boy. Okay, everyone's going to go, yeah, but, you know, Kante helped him out. All right, fine. We got a bit lucky there. But he still had to run a good distance with you know, after that, and to keep control of the ball. And this is exactly what I said in the last pod. Do you remember we referred to that preseason game where he was playing in the middle and he was running with the ball? And I remember saying, if you read
against Fiorentina.
Yeah.
It went wide, didn't it? It went wide.
Yeah, he missed it. And, yeah,
yeah, and I text everyone when that happened.
And do you know what? I remember saying then that, look at this boy. The ball seems to stick at his feet. He's running at pace, but the ball sticks. He's like, the ball is glued to his feet. He's got
doesn't break stride.
And he's got that something about him. And oh my God, I was running and I was thinking, shit, please score, because you deserve it. You so deserve this. And he played it, played the shot with such good, or struck the shot with such composure. It felt like a seasoned professional striker, a world-class striker that's been around for years, because he was 18 years old, Stamford Bridge, in that atmosphere. You know, he's running with the ball. He's going towards our fans. Yeah. You know, the amount of pressure is unbelievable. You've got to remember that. These are human beings. He's an 18-year-old kid. And he almost demonstrated to the whole team, even maybe to the whole Premiership, as how a young striker, up-and-coming young striker, should play and how he should keep composure. What a finish. You know, that's not easy. And oh, I'm completely delighted. And he's only going to get better and better. I think I said it before, he's the complete striker for me. He's got everything you want in a forward and then some, because he's also taking the ball by the horns and showing the rest of the team that, okay, if you're not going to do it, as an 18-year-old kid, I'm going to show you how to do it. And he should be an inspiration to all the other senior players in that team. Mm-hmm. They should replay that all the time. Show his even Pepe's as well. Show snippets of footage to the rest of the team and say, this is the standard that I want from the club. And I assure you, Arteta is going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to clap and bow to the guy. Well done. Well done. And I'm so impressed with him.
Yeah. Seriously. And it wasn't a perfect run. It was funny. It obviously took a heavy touch. And that heavy touch just made Kante slip. But if you watch the way he runs away from Emerson, despite the fact he's basically level with him when the ball comes to him in his own half, just outside our area, when Mustafi heads it clear. And he's done that run hundreds of times before in training. He doesn't break stride. It's like, it's just so smooth. It doesn't look like he's sprinting. It looks like he's jogging. And that is the biggest compliment I can pay him. He's running away from these players with the ball, I'll add. And this is the first player, James, since Anelka that scored double figures, the first teenager that we've had, 18-year-old, since Anelka that scored double figures in his first season. And we're just over halfway through it. And he's hardly played. Mm. Let's remember that as well. Mm. But what we've got here is a player that, we can compare him to Anelka, but... And I want to touch wood here, but this is a player with really the right attitude too. Do you know what I mean? He's handling everything. Oh, God, you hear about him having his own nutritionist for a few years, personal trainer. You see him down in his protein shake as soon as the game ends before he even claps the fans. I mean, this is a player that's been built to be at this level. That goal's been running through his head a million times in the last few years before he's done it. And I think it's a goal, James, that you talk about the Haalands and the Mbappes and stuff like that. I think it's a goal that really is going to push him into the forefront, that's going to get Europe recognising it. I mean, these kind of games, everyone's watching. And I mean, that's worrying in itself because of where we're at. But let's forget about that and enjoy it for a moment. But James, what can you say on him?
You say about being worried, Jack. I know in your neck of the woods, there's the NFL draft at the weekend. So imagine the money he's going to make if they want to get a bloke that can run 67 yards without being taken down or trip himself. Do you know what I mean? He might get an NFL call up, let alone someone, you know, they make even more money than the Premier League footballers do. So I'd be terrified. If he's in Las Vegas at the weekend in any pictures, I'm shitting myself.
Don't let him leave London.
I mean, oh my God. Do you know what though? I hate to be that guy, but the minute Kante slipped, I was like, he's scoring. He's scoring.
So confident, didn't he?
Like, it reminded me of years and years ago, and I think I was six. I wasn't seven at the time when I watched England versus Argentina, and I did cry my eyes out at the end. Just when Owen took off, I was like, mate, he's going to score here, and I was six. It just reminded me. But do you know what? I don't know any 18-year-old in his debut season in England. I'm talking about a foreign player, not an English player, that has scored at the Kop end of Anfield and scored at the Shed at Chelsea at 18 years of age in his debut year. If someone can find it and tell me, I'd love to know. But I'm like, this guy is composed. He's tenacious. He's got no fear. And like you said, it's worrying because the elites are probably going to keep tabs on him. But, you know, I said it on Twitter in the little group that we made. I'm like, 10-year deal, you know, contract in front of him tomorrow morning.
We're going to have to sign him to a bigger contract this summer, no question.
Bigger buyout clause. But no, it's exactly like you said, Jack. If you look at it, I think Mbappe is already at the level that's expected of him. So I look elsewhere and I go, the biggest players that are young, that are in Europe for me, oh, like you said, Haaland is the top. I'd say Haaland is the pinnacle because you look at him and you go, Christ alive, he's 6'5" and he runs like that. He's got the strength like that and he just scores for fun like that. He's the all-round elite centre-forward if they develop him. Then you go Sancho as the next one. And I'd say number three is Martinelli, and that's not me being biased. You know, that's from what I've just watched personally. And do you know what?
Look how early it is, James.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? And this player, you know, career to say something like that.
The Tokyo Olympics are coming up, mate, and I cannot see Brazil not going. We want Martinelli, we want Jesus, and we want either Vincenzo or whatever it is from Real Madrid as the front three. And I think Arsenal wouldn't want him to go, but I don't think you can hold him back. I think he'd look at it and go, well, I can get in that 2022 Qatar, you know, squad on the form that I'm on. I'm in the Prem scoring 10 goals and 11 starts. Okay, it's been Europa League and, you know, League Cup and everything else as well. But no, he's got 10 and he might think I can sneak in here.
Yeah.
You know, you've got
question, was
Neymar on one wing, me on the other and Jesus down the middle.
Bro, the Brazil watching him going, they're loving what they're seeing. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
But his work rate, you know what I mean? I mean, he's playing left side. And we've got to talk about the left side a little bit because we've got two 18-year-olds playing in positions that, okay, Martinelli is known as a winger, but a lot of us feel he'll move centrally.
They were both immaculate, mate. Both
they were incredible. But Kai Osaka had a hard first 15. You know, it would have been easy to go into a shell and be like, I'm going to get... I mean, to be honest, if Ainsley Maitland-Niles had that first 15, I'd be worried because of character and things like that. So, but here you've got Saka. I mean, what a strong kid he is. He's a tiny little boy, and he's so strong. I mean, you remember the last few minutes when he's holding off Aspilicueta in the corner. Clear foul doesn't get given. And he's just, that left side was, probably not talked about enough because of the performances of Bellerin and Xhaka, and rightly so because of, moving of position and the return. But that's incredible. And it makes you wonder why we're going in for a halfway house left back when you see performances like that.
Yeah. I really rate his delivery as well, though.
Oh, yeah. The first minute, funny enough, we had one, he ballooned it. And I was like, that's very unlike him. But after that, like you said,
I mean, Tierney's obviously the pinnacle. You know, even in the small glimpses that we've seen, Kieran Tierney for delivery is... You know, he's the upper echelon. He's the one that you got to look at and go, nah, boys, come on, this is the guy you got to replicate. But he's got much better delivery than Kolasinac for me already, at 18. Yeah. Much better. I'm both of them on that wing. I mean, that was it. I mean, all of us were looking at it and we're going, Arteta, take Ozil off, bring the extra defender on, go compact, play on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was just easy. What everybody was like, that's what you need to do. And Pepe stretched them, Martinelli stretched them, Bellerin did, Saka did, and no, especially that left hand side. That's just elite. And I'm going to be controversial here, but I think you'll both agree with me. So it's not that controversial in the grand scheme of things. But when Aubameyang's back, for me, Lacazette, you're out, mate. Because Martinelli's got to stay in.
It's going to be hard to keep him in, It's going to be hard. It's going to be very interesting. It's the sort of problem you want, James. Do you know what I mean? It's the sort of problem you want.
I agree with exactly what you two have both said. For me, a bit, Lacazette sacrificed his own game. Because, we all look at the Twitter and they're all like, oh, he's twerking like Miley Cyrus on Robin Thicke on the halfway line. What's he fucking doing? And I'm like, well, he's actually trying to hold the ball up to get the overlaps on.
He does a ton of work.
It's like, watch the fucking game, for God's sake. Like, all he does is twerk all the time. All he does is twerk all the time. I'm like, he's not twerking, you dickhead. He's holding the ball up, for fucking sake.
Yeah. And I mean, you listen to Arteta's comments on Lacazette post game again yesterday. I mean, he literally has to stop and be like, it's what he's doing is amazing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying, well, he's got to say that. And I'm like, no, you can tell when something's genuine and when something's just like, oh, I'm trying to give him a bit of confidence here. He's genuinely not really worried about his goals. Yeah. You can tell he's asking for more than that from his performance. And I don't think he's always getting it. I was very critical, like I said, in the last game. I didn't think he really provided that.
No.
But I thought in this game, I thought he wanted a release in the second half. I mean, he was the first one there to try to bring it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then obviously Martinelli and Pepe running either side, but he was the one to drop back in.
Well, he's void of confidence anyway. So he probably thought of it and thought, do you know what? I can do this, you know, hard work bit of the game. Because at the moment in front of goal, okay, he tucked when he was offside. And it was actually a very, very good finish. But he probably thought to himself, I'm in front of goal at the moment. I'm a bit ropey. So do you know what? I will drop into that number 10 sort of role and let the Sakas and the Martinellis and the Bellerins and the Pepes go sort of not up front per se, but do you know what I mean? Like, let them overlap me. And because at the moment they're more composed and better in front of goal than I am. And, you know, we all talked about it, togetherness and leadership. He, you know, Neil says it all the time, grabs the ball by the horn. He sacrificed his own game there to bring the others in that won it for us, if you want to look at it in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, he's a selfless, one of the most selfless number nines you'll see, to be honest.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I thought he was terrific. So, I mean, we've touched on Martinelli, we go on and on about it, but Neil, we're 1-1. You know, again, they have some chances, don't they, Willian, down the left. He hits one at Leno and he parries. And you know, they have a few decent chances, but I wouldn't say anything crazy.
It was a good save before the corner as well from, Barkley, the header.
We keep failing to talk about Leno. And I have to say, I think if you want to talk about consistent players, I think he's been one of the most consistent all season, to be honest.
He's been fantastic.
I really am happy to have him in goal. I've got no problems with him at all. I like the fact that we can swap him when we play the cup games, but I think for the Premiership, he's made that position his own. He's doing a really good job, and a bit like Saka was, a bit of an unsung hero. I think he's an unsung hero in most of the games. If we want to talk about consistent players throughout all the crap that we've been through, I feel that Leno is the one. Yeah, we're still struggling to have a goalie that saves penalties. I admit that, but other than that, I think he's doing a fine job. I just wanted to say that.
I saw a few criticisms, and I can kind of see where they're coming from with the with the red card, whether he just came out too soon, but
and
maybe he could have stayed a little bit. Maybe that would have made it a bit more challenging for Abraham.
He's not in his DNA. He's German. They all rush off the line, mate.
Yes, Leanne's Lehmann effect, isn't it?
That's
it. Yeah, no, but I thought he was fantastic. Like you said, shot stopping fantastic. Then their goal, James. Sorry, so I didn't know to go do there. But James, then their goal.
Yeah, let James do it. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Oh, yeah, you said it, didn't you? You've had a chance to rewatch. I mean, it's not a great goal to concede, is it?
Oh, Neil, I insist. Neil.
No. suddenly my mic's gone weird.
Oh, yeah, suddenly there you go. We're having technical issues.
Oh, the doorbell's gone off.
Oh, it's down. What a celebration. I'm just rewatching Martinelli's goal. It's such a fantastic celebration.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I can watch that all day long, mate.
Lacazette's been absolutely mental. Phone insight, which is nice to see.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's what it's all about, isn't it? I wish I was there. That was one of those games where it's just limbs a clock, and you're down in the front row, even though you're in the 10th. And those are the times you live for, isn't it? For away games, away days like that. So good luck to everyone that was there. But James, where do you place the blame for the second goal? Because it wasn't perfect. It was some errors, wasn't there?
It's the typical Arsenal way. We don't deal with the cross. Lacazette, I don't know if he's trying to head it or what have you, but he just completely flies over his head. And then it's the typical Arsenal panto of you're both the centre-backs. Okay, Xhaka's not a centre-back, but he was playing there. They both turn around. Oh, he's behind me. Oh, and it's in the net as well. Oh, great. Oh, okay. So it's just typical Arsenal, really. And that's us in a nutshell, is that There is greatness here, but there is still that momentary lapse of concentration that smacks us in the head. You know, it's the punch to the face. It's the wake up call. And that's been in us for a very, very long time. And that's part of the uphill battle that Mikel Arteta has, is that we need to go from this team that can play in bursts and have this individual quality to being a team from the first whistle until the final that's switched on, organised, primed and ready to go. And that is the ultimate test to this man's tenure at Arsenal.
Can I quickly say, can I just jump in there? But the thing is, he recognises this. Now,
He always says what you're thinking, doesn't he?
Yeah, yes, exactly. I'm sorry, I know this sounds horrible, but I could never understand what Emery was saying anyway. And you've got to, and bear in mind, look, I don't want to say anything bad about Wenger, but he did always used to keep going, even when we had really poor results and poor performances, he'd still keep saying that we're mentally strong, we're together, and it used to get boring. But Arteta has come out and said, we still have a very, very long way
to
go.
This is why we like him, Neil.
We've got a lot of work to do. He says we're nowhere near where we should be. So he's still, although we saw a great performance against Chelsea, he's still recognising the fallacies in that performance.
He's not the politician, Neil.
He's telling us exactly
what you want to hear, because it's like you said, it is boring. You know, okay, Emery, like you said, couldn't really understand him. And then Wenger, you know, like I said, it was like the bingo call sheet. You knew which lines you were going to get.
But this
guy is telling you point blank, no, I'm not happy with this. Like Freddie did. Freddie was like, no, that's not on.
Yeah.
I'm not
Very
having
true.
That.
Very true.
You know, like,
but he's clever about it, isn't he? He doesn't call out individuals.
No,
he doesn't
call out
lambast them.
No.
No. He's clever about it, isn't he? Yeah. He's like, we need to be better here. And he just says it's a collective, doesn't he?
Because he wants to play as a team, Jack. He wants all the, and this is the reason for the lack of substitutions. He kept umming and ahhing with Holding, but he came out and said afterwards, yeah, I was thinking about it, but you know what? I didn't want to send the wrong message out to the team. And he wanted them to see how they reacted as a player. Yeah. He put on straight away from the start, he wanted to see how they reacted after the sending off. And do you know what? It worked out in the end. I think he was spot on with it, to be honest.
His very, very first interview, he said, I want togetherness and I want to unite the fans and this team again. And that's exactly what he's doing. But like we all said, the work that man's got to do, especially, I mean, you know, I keep going on about it, but we're 23 days in. And there's still no movement. And I'm like, you need to back this man because this guy's got it. This guy's the best manager that we have had since Wenger obviously left. He really 100%. Is. He is.
You're going to see a lot of movement in the last week. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much with us, but you're going to see a lot of movement in the last week of the window, I think, probably more than we expect. But like I said, I just hope it's not anything crazy short term and something where we've stuck with someone on a big contract and all who's not necessarily, we know is not the real deal, but is kind of, you know, a makeup. It's just got to be someone of quality, you know, because otherwise there's no point in doing it, I think. But especially where we sit in 10th, aren't we? You know, there's the league-wise, nothing dramatic is going to happen, I don't think. But you're right. I mean, obviously
It is madness though, mate, because you look at it and you think Southampton were dead and buried after that 9-0. Mm-hmm. And now they're in front of us and 5 points off. Is it top six, top four?
They're playing incredibly
Madness. It's a mad league, mate. You can't. Yeah. You know,
no, you can't rule anything out. And you just
why we need them 40 points.
Yeah, there you go. That's the main thing I'm looking at. As another point yesterday.
Still the goal for me as well. Still that is the aim.
I'll take a breath when that happens, to be honest, still, because I was worried for a little bit under Coward Emery over there, but. But they got a little bit frustrated. Jack has sat off a little bit, didn't he? Sat a bit deep. I don't think we can blame him too much because he had a terrific performance at centre-back. And he really, I think that's one of the players he got to look to with Arteta and see a player that was devoid of confidence, distant from the fan base. I don't want to go over that story again, of course, but... and he's just, look at him. I mean, I never seen Granit Xhaka smile so much in my life.
It's all down to Arteta.
And
for me,
of course it is. And Arteta's spoken on it, hasn't he? He said we had words and then I wanted him to enjoy playing again. And I thought he could do that here. But none of us did. I mean, I certainly didn't. None of us did. I was convinced he was gone. It was only this month, you know, that he was on his way. So that's that epitomizes Arteta's philosophy.
Was he your guy's man of the match? Or
I mean,
you
I think...
I think he was. After watching rewatching the goal and seeing that he sat, he probably kept Aspilicueta off on side. I'm like, but I think, you know, you've got to, I mean, he's done this before, Xhaka, in fairness to him. I mean, he played left back at Palace away last year and was very good until he gave away the penalty. But you couldn't moan at his performance. He scored with a 2-1 up until the last few minutes, and he did terrific at left back. So, and you know, attitude wise on the pitch, in terms of, you know, playing anywhere and just being there for the team, I think he's been fantastic. I probably would have given it to him, to be honest.
I probably would have.
But I mean, we'll get to Bellerin in a sec. So we're 2-1 down, and to be honest, when it was 2, I don't know what minute it was. It was probably the 80th minute, 82nd minute when we were 2-1 down. I thought, well, all right, fair enough. We're gonna end up losing this, but decent performance anyway, because we'd only had one shot on goal, hadn't we? So. But Neil, we go again. I mean, straight after we go 2-1 down, we go again. We really are putting them under the cosh. We're sort of pending them in for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. And, I mean, you got to touch on Bellerin's goal, but I mean, I got to eat a ton of humble pie. I still think physically I'm a little bit worried about Hector Bellerin, but for an early, you know, the fullbacks were struggling those first 15, 20 minutes. He was absolutely fantastic, wasn't he? And that is amazing. For, I mean, 367 days out. I know he's had one or two games back, but nothing major, you know. To come back with a performance like that. And do you know, ever since the Alonso thing, he's always played really well against Chelsea, home or away. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, but he's always, ever since that Alonso thing. And I don't know if that was a factor. Alonso wasn't even on the pitch, was he? You know, he's always played really well, I've noticed, since that game. But touch on it, I mean, fantastic finish, mate. We've seen him do it with his left before, to be honest. But
yeah,
fantastic finish, and what a return performance for him.
Unbelievable, mate. Oh, my God. I would have thought he would have lasted literally the whole game. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we were talking, just at the end of the last pod, you know, you said it for a long time, Jack, and you were rightly so, that you're worried about how he's looking physically. He just looks so sort of just very, very, there's nothing of him. Literally, he's just getting thinner and thinner. And you were making those funny comments about his hamstrings and whatnot. And, and you know, rightly so. And he's just come on and proven all of us wrong, really. My God, it's not just even what he did on the pitch as a player. I thought he was a good captain. There were times where he was waving his arms about and trying to give instructions. I actually thought he was doing a good job as a captain at times when I looked at him, you know, off the ball. I thought, Christ, where's this come from? And, you know, what an amazing choice by Arteta to give him the armband. You know, we were always thinking, God, it's almost like pot luck who gets the captain's armband. Who the hell is our captain? Do we even know? Does anyone know who's our captain? But I thought that was the right choice in that Chelsea game. And yeah, you're right. You know, again, second time we're down. You know, that could have been it. I thought that was the end. I thought, oh, great performance. But look, we've got nothing to show for it again. And even again against Chelsea, because I thought at home we played well against Chelsea and we came away with nothing. And I thought it's going to happen all over again. Christ almighty, another 2-1. And that just sucks a little bit. But I was still pleased. Even at that point, I was still pleased. Didn't think that we were going to regroup the way we did. And, you know, it was, I think it was Guendouzi and Torreira that eventually laid the ball to Bellerin. But what a great finish! I didn't see it coming. I didn't even think he was going to take a shot, and it just out of nowhere, he just hit the ball, and it went planted beautifully in the corner. Yes, the defense, you could say that the defense weren't doing their job, but end of the day, you know, he's taken advantage of that. Maybe the goalie was blinded a little bit by one of his defenders, but it was still a great finish, and I'm so pleased for him because that encapsulated a fantastic performance. The way I was pleased for Martinelli to get reward for what his work rate, I think the same could be said about Bellerin. He deserved that goal. It wasn't just the fact that we equalised and got a point from the game, but I think Bellerin so deserved that. And, you know, as I said right from the start, him and Xhaka and a couple of others, any number of those could have been man of the match for me. I thought they all played so well, and just fantastic. Couldn't be more happier for him. And let's see. It's interesting to see what Arteta does now going forward with him, whether he retains him now, depending on how his fitness levels hold up, and whether Niles now gets a look in. Because we were only saying a little while ago that surely now Niles has made that position his own. Now it looks like, well, has he after that performance? Has
well,
he
I mean,
done that?
you forget what it's been so long since we've had a fullback that is a fullback there.
Mm.
Do you know, we played Chambers there, Niles there for the last year. You know, sometimes absence, and I'm guilty of this as anyone, you know, makes you sort of forget what a real fullback looks like, and you know what they do, and Bellerin's always been great at getting forward, hasn't he? Really, I mean, it was key part of his game, but and he's always popped up with the odd goal or two. To be fair, I mean, I remember him scoring a goal like that against Liverpool a few years back, and but he did it against Villa as well, cut inside and whipped it into the far corner. So he's everyone's shocked by it, sort of, but he's done it before, you know, and oh, it was just a terrific finish. But I'm watching it again. It was the 84th minute they scored. And from the 84th minute till his goal in the 87th, I mean, we are literally penning them in. I mean, Saka's penning them in, Martinelli on the other side. I mean, we really have not clear chances, but we're really putting pressure. So that's just a great sign again, James, that we, you know, that never sort of say die attitude, you know. Do you know what I mean? Just, we must be exhausted down to 10 men.
Yeah, but it's like I said earlier, towards the end, you were looking at it going, who's got the 10 men?
Yeah.
We were in the ascendancy. And I mean, at the time that Bellerin scores that goal, he was legging out anyway. He was fucked. He was fucked. But it's a brilliant, brilliant goal.
And he uses the bodies, doesn't he? Yeah.
It's his left foot as well. It's his left foot. And I'm like, that was, I mean, I'm reminiscing here, but I remember being a young man seeing Nigel Winterburn score at Chelsea. I remember
Silvinho.
I remember Andre Santos scoring at Chelsea.
Wow.
You know, in the 5-3. You got to remember he was on the score sheet that day. You know, it's a brilliant, brilliant finish. And I'm so happy it was him, because I really like the boy anyway. I know we were criticising him and, you know, thinking, is this going to be? But it wasn't anything on him as a person or as a player. It was just how, you know, physically he's looking, and if he's, you know, if the rehab that's been done, you know, correctly. But like you mentioned, Jack, 367 days since he done his ACL versus Chelsea, and to come back in his first game and, you know, as captain, have a really, really good performance and then a goal to earn us the point. I mean, it was like you said, it was limbs o'clock, weren't it? You know, it's just, it's everything that you could have asked for. And I mean, he was G'ing the fans up throughout the game, like you said, Neil. He was raising his hands up, you know, like louder. Come on, energy. And it's just, it's just everything you want to see in your, it's what you want to see in your captains, isn't it? And I mean, it's another one of these great, great dilemmas. I personally don't think he will play on Monday, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's in for the Burnley game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because Monday, I mean, it's a decent break, isn't it? We need it after playing 65 minutes for 10 men. And our squad being as thin as it is, and now losing Luis, I mean, the team almost picks itself, doesn't it, really? I mean, I think he's going to go pretty strong on Monday, knowing where we are in the league. I don't see him making... I was seeing people talk about Medley and people like that. I mean, he ain't going to play anyone like that. No. Yeah, I mean, not that they're not good. I mean, he's just not going to do it. He's going to play a strong team, and no question about it. I'm certain of that. But yeah, it'll be interesting on the Bellerin one. And how he uses Niles now, if he thinks Bellerin... I mean, it's just a first step, isn't it, on his sort of road to recovery. But it's a big step. It's a really big moment, I think, for Bellerin to return. And, you know, they say with the ACL tears, you're never really close to being back to anywhere near your best till the 12-month point. I mean, this was 12 months and 2 days, so he's bang on, to be honest. He came back a little bit early. So did Holding. So hopefully we start to see something similar from Holding as well, because we could do with it in that position. We're dropping like flies over there. But, But after that, I mean, all I remember is one very good chance to bat Shuey. And he just... You know, completely.
Well, I think Xhaka again did well there, because I think he put him off a little bit.
Yeah, so he kind of slid in, didn't he? And I think he was worried he was going to put it away, but he didn't. And we deserved that luck, for me. And we really did. You know, I thought we were terrific as soon as the red card happened until the end. So a great 2-2. It doesn't do a load for our league position. It doesn't necessarily do a load for any sort of slim chances of a Champions League hope. But I think the performance is something to really take away for this group and for this manager, and hopefully it's something to build on. And Arteta said, you know, he doesn't know if it's going to be like that, and of course he doesn't, but the hope is that it's
it's there and we continue it, you know, and Monday and, yeah, and beyond 100%. Then, yeah. But brilliant. Boys, just quick, we've got Monday, Bournemouth. Don't need to talk about sort of line-up too much. It's so far away, but what's your predictions? Start with you, James. What's your predictions and score? Have you got one for me? I'm predicting 1-1 for this, by the way, and I think you boys predicted a win, so I'm going to take the win on that one.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
It's because of how I think it's going to chop and change slightly. I think it's going to be 2-1 to Arsenal, but because I think Bournemouth are going to make a lot of changes as well, because I think they're going to keep them for the. I think he's looking at it going, I probably won't win this, but I can probably stay up if I keep my main players fit. So I think he's going to. I think Eddie Howe's going to chop and change just as much as Arsenal sort of will chop and change. But
do you think we'll chop and change a lot? Do you?
I do at the back especially, yeah. I think
holding Mustafi or something, Socrates.
I think it's going to be holding Socrates. I think it's going to be Niles, obviously Martinez in goal. I can see probably Guendouzi starting instead of Torreira and someone else. You know, I can see possibly Willock or Ceballos maybe getting that 10 role.
That'll be interesting.
It's interesting,
on him, isn't it, Ceballos? If the rumours are true, we're not going to see much of him again, are we?
I can see the winger staying the same, but I could easily see him going, do you know what, Lacazette? No, I'm going to start Nketiah and maybe bring you on as the sub. So
interesting.
It's possible.
It's tough. You know, I don't know what he's going to do. And I look forward to it, though.
Yeah, and we don't really know the status of Nelson and Kolasinac. Exactly. I know Nelson's back in light training, so he's had outside chance, possibly, so we'll see with that. But you said 2-1. Neil, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be interesting. I'm quite looking forward to seeing who he chooses to play. It'll be very interesting. On one hand, I thought he's not going to make too many changes, but then as James was talking, I thought, no, actually, he could be right. James has said that. There's lots of places or positions where he could make a change, so it'll be interesting to see what he does. I'm looking forward to it, like James said. So predictions, I think I'm going to go for 2-1 as well. I'm going to go for another 2-1, and it depends on. Let's go 2-1 Nketiah in case he does make that change. 2-1 Nketiah.
Eddie's back. Okay, yeah. I'll go 1-0 Arsenal. 1-0 to the Arsenal, and I'll go. I think he'll play Martinelli again, so I'm going to go Martinelli. 1-0 cool. Arsenal, Martinelli. Just got, yeah,
we'll take it, mate. Get in the draw.
Yeah, get in the draw. Absolutely. The Cups are important. Yeah, they are important this season. I agree. We've got to have a Cup run. It'd be nice.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah, we are the FA Cup champions, as I say. So we are indeed. We show that again. But Neil, James, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks to Anthony for always posting it.
Absolutely.
And the other guest, Mark Michael, obviously they'll be back on soon. Yeah. And we'll be back hopefully after Monday's game against Bournemouth. We're on all the good apps, you know, your Spotify's, your iTunes, and then we're on some of the crappy ones that I don't know about as well. I don't know why you listen on those, to be honest. They're useless, but we're on there. have a listen to us and give us a review, a little subscription, all that sort of stuff, or comment on the Twitter feed. It's always fun to hear from you, so appreciate it. Boys, up the Arsenal, I think.
Come on.
I think we're turning it around slowly.
Gabby,
up the Arsenal,
Martinelli.
Is that our song for him, is it?
He comes from San Paolo. Yeah.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, that's quite good. I like that. I like the new song. I like watching because I'm not around there enough, you know. So some of them are awful, but I think I saw that and I quite liked it. Yeah, I saw a video of it.
It's catchy. It's going to catch on.
Yeah, when he starts hearing his name in the crowd, he's going to realise he's arrived big time, isn't he? So
exactly. And he has arrived already for me. He's already here.
Absolutely, he's going to be. Do you know what? I don't want to jump the gun, but if he carries on like this, he's got to be in the shout for the PFA Young Player, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what I mean? I know he's not been massively in the league, but he's probably going to get given to a Liverpool player who doesn't get in the team, but has played a good League Cup game. But you know what I mean? Like he's got to be in a running at least. You know, I mean, the goals alone.
I think he's coming too late, sadly.
Yeah, because all the votes go in now, don't they?
Exactly, yeah.
There you go. So it's literally every Liverpool player.
It's going to be Trent Arnold.
Of course, he's still pretty. All right, I can't argue with that. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's not talk about Liverpool. All right, boys, up the Arsenal. Take care,
Come on, guns.